Sometimes forex trading is a wild and woolly place to be. That's why Hugh's here, to pose your questions to Walter, the naked forex guy. Hugh's got questions and Walter's got the answers. Here at the Truth About FX podcast.
Hey Walter, what are three things that you wish you knew when you first started trading?
Probably would be, number one would be that trading a system, it sets you up on a path that is, you know, based on the characteristics of that system and the way that you apply risk to that system, that sets you up, that sets up your equity curve. So another way of saying that is, depending on how you use risk with your trading strategy, you are guaranteed to have certain types of drawdown. So I wish that someone would have told me that you are guaranteed, you know, that really you can change the whole look and feel of your equity curve by the way that you manipulate risk. I wish someone would have taught me that. I really do. Number two is, I wish someone would have told me, you know, your trading system that you choose is not nearly as important as how you deal with the hard times as a trader, the difficult times. Another way of saying that is, the best traders are resilient traders. Resiliency, I believe, is kind of the key psychological component to trading. And if you read the interviews of the market wizards, you're going to see this over and over again, that, you know, they kind of had this determination, no matter what happened, they were going to make it work. A lot of people don't do that. They try trading like, you know, well, the trading thing didn't work out, so I'm going to go flip houses or you know, or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of that kind of stuff going on. They're not really set on making the trading thing work. So, you know, there's two pieces to that. There's the resilience part, and there's the stubbornness, or the, you know, determination. Determination will not get you there as a trader. It's resiliency that you need, that other part. If you can't bounce back, because the biggest deal in trading is what you do after you run into a losing streak. That's where that works. And then probably the last thing that I wish someone told me is that you really shouldn't listen to other traders. Like, you know, like I know, as a person sitting here on this little podcast soapbox, I am someone telling you this and that, but you really shouldn't. Like, you know, because here's the thing, I can go into a forum right now on the internet, I can get an account, I can log into the forum, and I can post my trading strategy, all right? And I can tell people, you know, I can just ask, what do you think about this? Is this, am I doing the right thing? And you know what I'm gonna hear? The entire range. I'm going to hear people that are going to say, wow, that looks amazing. And I'm going to hear people say, you're an idiot, it'll never work. Yeah. And you know what? They're all right. They're all right. Mm-hmm. Because the guy who says this is amazing, he can take that strategy and he could probably make money out of it. And the guy that says this is total crap, you'll never make money trading this, he will never make money trading it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, and I think there's a quote, I don't know, I think Ed Sequoia said something about this in the Market Wizards, where, you know, it's a famous quote, other people have said it, like, whether you believe you can or you can't, you're right, you know, and that's basically true in trading. Mm-hmm. It really is. Like, there are people that will tell you it's impossible to make 1% a week trading. There are other people that are doing much better than that. You know what I mean? Every week, mm-hmm, trading. Yeah, so, yeah. I mean, that's it. Yeah. I mean, if you, like, trying to set your expectations based on what somebody else tells you, it's not good. And that's sad, because we're actually brainwashed from a young age to do that. You know what I mean? Like, we're brainwashed from our parents tell our kids, you know, you can't do this. And our teachers tell the kids, no, you don't do that. You know, everything that we do, like, from birth is basically sort of setting us up in this psychological cage, and we're not allowed to get out of that. And so when you ask other traders, mm-hmm, what do you think about this, just know that what they tell you, the answer they tell you, that only applies to them. That does not apply to you. You decide. So that's another thing I would say, mm-hmm, is that, like, your limitations are yours, and you own them and you determine them. Anybody else, You can have the best trading system for you that you could trade for 30, 40, 50 years, and you can make tons of money trading that system. And for other people, you can give that to them on a silver platter, and they won't make a dime. So and that's an important concept, because it's not the system. We think it's, when we first start, we think it's finding the system. It's not the system. It's not. It's more about the risk, how that system interacts with you. Like, does it make sense to you? And then, you know, your mindset, like what you believe about it. Like if you're trading a system that you think isn't going to make more than 3% a year, guess what? That's your ceiling, right? Like yeah. That's your ceiling. Yeah. And 3% a year is your ceiling. So it's totally, you know, that's another thing I wish someone would have told me, is that, you know, I really shouldn't be listening to other traders. I should come up with my, you know, my goals. What's possible is up to me, and it's not to what some other, like some other, because that happens all the time. Like, I'll show traders things and they'll go like, that's crap. Okay, fine. That's crap. That's crap for you, you know? Yeah, you know what yeah. I mean? So yeah, so that's the other thing. And that, I mean, obviously that applies in life, you know, you know, that sort of thing. But there's tons of stories. You can read all the stories, the motivational stories about people who were told they couldn't do it and they did do it and all that sort of thing. There's actually a really cool story here in Australia. There's a guy named Stephen Bradbury. Do you know who he is, Hugh?
No, never heard of him.
Well, he was in the Olympics in, I think it was when the Olympics were in Salt Lake City, or, you know, in Utah, right? The Winter Olympics. Mm-hmm. And he made it to the, so it's a speed skating where they go around that little circle really fast. And I don't know if you guys remember, like some of you might remember, back in the day, there was this guy named Apollo Ohno, and he was like the U.S. guy. And he was like, yeah, that was our big hope, you know, and he was going to win the gold, you know. He was the favorite sort of thing. And I think some of the Koreans are really good at that thing too. Anyway, you know, so they had this finals. It was down to the finals, and there's like five people in the final, right? And for whatever reason, this Stephen Bradbury dude from Australia had somehow slipped into the final. Like, he had a lucky draw or whatever with his heats or whatever. He made it in, right? And everyone knew that this guy wasn't going to win. Well, here's what's interesting about it. He's actually in the race, and you know, they're doing these laps around the little circle, you know, with their long skates, and they're all speeding around, and they pull away from Stephen Bradbury. He's like totally like a half a lap behind them or whatever, you know? Mm-hmm. And so he's in last, and the other four are fighting it out for first. You can YouTube this, by the way. They're coming around the last turn. Basically, everyone's falls, okay? So they're all clumped into a group, and they're all falling, and they all kind of slide and hit the wall and everything. And you can actually see – and so Stephen Bradbury is just going. Like, he doesn't care. He's the slowest dude. He knows it. He has no chance to get to the podium, but they all fall. He's still going as he was the whole race, and he wins gold because everyone else fell, basically. And he's like a motivational speaker now in Australia, you know. He's like, keep doing it, you know, keep going. And that's what's so cool about trading. Like, everyone can sit here and go, you know, you might have dyslexia or whatever. You know, you never went to university or whatever. Well, trading is such a great meritocracy that anyone who can lock into what's right can make it work. And, you know, this dude, Stephen Bradbury, wins gold. Why? Because he kept doing it. If you would have been able to place odds on that race, and I'm sure you probably were somewhere, like, his odds would have been like 100-1, easy, you know? Because everyone knew Stephen Bradbury wasn't a fast skater, but he won gold. And he actually, if you watch the video, you can actually see some of the guys kind of like crawling to the line, trying to stick their skate across the line and stuff like that, you know? It's really funny. But yeah,
it's hilarious.
So, yeah, it's hilarious. And it's great to have, you know, that example of somebody who, you know, he went into the race knowing what everyone thought about it, but he still, you know, stuck to his plan, which was, I'm just going to race as fast as I can, and maybe some people will fall, you know, because it happens a lot in those sorts of races. People get bumped and whatever. Yeah. So anyway, that's something that I think is really important. That third point is that don't let anyone tell you what you should do, because what they're telling you is what they're going to do. It has nothing to do with you. You set your own limitations. You set what's possible for you. So yeah, it's a really important lesson.
Yeah, for sure. I think I was in a meetup once, and this guy, he asked the room, how much could you make forex trading? And, you know, people said different things, 10%, 5% a month. And then he says, no, you can only make 2% a month maximum. And you could hear like the collective sigh, like, oh, is that it?
Really?
And I think that was a little disservice because, yeah, like you say, you know, that's how much he was making a month.
Yeah.
But with that system, but not necessarily like what other people could make. So
yeah,
it's a great point.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So what he did is he took his belief, his limitations, and he placed it on the crowd. Yeah. And some of those people in the crowd, you know, would have said, oh, well, okay. Yeah, he's right. He's the teacher, you know, and other people like you or whatever would have said, that's bullet, you know, that's a bunch of bullocks, exactly. You know, whatever. Yeah. So yeah. So it's a good, it's a great point. You'll see that, like, that we see that in life, in every corner of life, you'll see that where people place certain limitations on others, and the others will either decide, yep, I'll take that limitation, that's my limitation now, or they'll say, no, I don't want that. And so, yeah, it's totally up to you. Yeah, it's a good
up to you.
Good point.
For sure.
Thanks, Hugh.
All right, thanks, Walter.
See you next time.